Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your love and your mercy and kindness. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you because it's not our philosophy. We thank you because it's not just something we say, but it is our banner. We thank you because the blood represents us. We thank you because the blood has come to redeem us. We thank you because the blood sets things straight for us. The blood is our foundation. We thank you because without the blood, we would not even be here today. We want to thank you because the blood is everything. And whether we were high, it reaches to the highest mountain. And whether we low, it flows to the lowest valley. God, I thank you because I know that when I need to be stable, when I need to have my mind in the right place, when I need to take my mind off my cares, I just plead the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I plead the blood over your saints today in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over their homes in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over their families in the name of Jesus. Lord, as I was praying this morning, I heard you say in my spirit to cancel the assignment of premature death in our lives, because death is trying to run rampant and all kind of things are trying to happen. But I cancel the assignment in the name of Jesus. I cancel the assignment of wrong thinking in the name of Jesus. You will accomplish what you set out to do because the Lord is for you. And if God is for you, nothing can be against you. I thank you because I know that you are for us, because you died and decreed this thing. You swore by your own self that it would be so, and so it is. In the name of Jesus, we thank you because you are good. And we pray that you let the words from this message today, the words that come from your scripture, let it just get inside of us and stir us up and help us to see what you've been telling us the whole time. Let it be confirmation. Let it be a fresh word. Let it be a breath of fresh air. Whatever we're in need of today, let your word satisfy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Let's just thank him for being so good. Yes. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is good. God is good. I'm so glad to be here before you today. Very humbly here before you today. And thank God for my pastor, who is also a longtime friend of mine, but for asking me to actually stand today. I want to talk about stringing pearls to the glory of God. Stringing. Putting pearls on a string. String to the glory of God. We string pearls. We hang them on our neck, because they're so beautiful and we love beautiful things, right? Amen? Men love beautiful women, right? Women love beautiful things, right? We love babies with beautiful eyes, right? People like curly hair. You talk about being light-skinned, but when you was pretty, right? Because we love beautiful things. I know you're going to get me. I just had to die. But I just had to tease you. But we love beautiful things. And so this is... The message today is stringing pearls of wisdom to the glory of God. Pearls are beautiful. If you go to the jewelry store, they can be very expensive. Beauty comes with a price. It's not always easy. In fact, my children like to look nice. And I've always liked to look nice myself. Even getting older, I try to keep myself up. And sometimes my girls will say, this is too much. I don't want to do my hair. And I say, beauty ain't easy. It's going to cost you something. The time that you're going to sit, the pain to braid them hair, that hair, you know, wearing them high heels, your calves might feel it. But to be beautiful comes with a price. Pearls are made out of pain. I read this a long time ago, that the mollusk or the oyster or whatever, because different types of mollusk, but I'm just going to say the oyster, gets an irritation, usually a parasite. Some people say a piece of sand, between the shell and the flesh. And what happens is while it's there, there's something called nacre that excretes from the body as a defense and begins to cover that thing so that the oyster or the mollusk can protect itself. And out of that pain and suffering comes the beauty that we string to wear around our necks. Out of that suffering, right? And so sometimes we go through things and we don't like it. We complain and we talk about it. We don't want to deal with this. I talk to other people about this. I don't want to have to deal with this thing. But out of your pain, the irritation, comes the opportunity for the nacre to flow. Because without the irritation, then an oyster or a mollusk has to go through his life and say he never made a pearl. Right? How valuable are you if you can never make a pearl? You're just another oyster on the Florida ocean, right? But if you've made a pearl, there's so much, much more value to you when you've created, when something has been produced from you, even out of your pain, right? Let me get that water. I'm gonna need that. When something has been created out of pain, pain has a purpose in our life. Pain serves a purpose. Pain actually brings forth the beauty. The pain of braiding this hair make me look like this, right? I'm cute, right? The pain of plucking eyebrows does this. Sometimes they ain't straight, y'all. I need glasses. It ain't like it used to be, right? But when I get them straight, it's cute, right? Pain. The pain of working all day brings home the paycheck. The pain of struggling with your children raise up responsible men and women who create a country that's able to move and have freedom with morals and values. If it wasn't for people raising their children to care, where would our nurses come from? And that's not easy. To take a child who wants to run around and never share anything, never want to listen, and somehow you can help that child to mold and become a doctor or a nurse or a teacher or just a good old community worker. How powerful is that? But the pain and agony of I done told you 1,000 times and you still won't listen. The pain and the agony of if I tell you one more time, I promise you I'm putting you out of this house, but bringing them back in anyway. The pain of swallowing your pride and you know you right and they gonna learn, but you say, come here, give me a hug, it's all right, when you still want to scream. The pain of hugging somebody who has made you so irritated you don't even see the value in them and still looking at them and say, you know what, I love you and it's not about me or you, when the whole time you feel like it really is about me. The pain of praying
and pressing and coming to the church and giving money when you don't have a dime in your pocket and you don't know what you're going to do. But out of the obedience in your spirit to give, you give anyway. The pain of listening to somebody else's story when you got your own problems, right? You really don't want to hear it. How you doing today? Well, you know, my dog ran away and you just think to yourself, oh God, I wish I would have never said nothing. But out of the pain of that, sometimes God will speak through you and bless somebody else, right? Out of pain, out of irritation, comes the pearl. And we've got to understand that God is not allowing us to go through these things just because we're going through. He just don't need some folk to go through some stuff. But there's a need to adorn the house of God and to adorn the earth and to adorn somebody else. Can somebody say hallelujah? Now, one of my favorite writers in the Bible is Paul. And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul actually said something that I talk about a lot. Paul was boasting a little bit in the beginning of this chapter. And I'm just going to read some of the beginning, but if you'll just write down 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. And I'm just going to read a little bit to just hear how Paul is boasting. He said, and this is coming from the Living Bible, "This boasting is all so foolish, but let me go on." He didn't stop. Let me go on. "Let me tell you about the visions I've had and the revelations that came from the Lord. 14 years ago, I was taken into heaven for a visit." Don't you hate people like that? You ain't seen nothing. And then they talking about, well, you know, I'm always having a visit, a vision or something, you know. And so he's standing there saying, this bragging, it's foolish, but I'm going to do it anyway. "And then I'm going to tell you about 14 years ago when I was taken up to heaven for a visit. Don't ask me whether my body was there or just my spirit, because I don't know. Only God can answer that. But anyway, I was there in paradise, and I heard so many astounding things that there are beyond a man's power to describe or put into words. And anyway, I'm not allowed to tell them to other people, but I'm gonna brag about it. Not because I'm bragging, because I want to show you something. That experience is worth bragging about," he said. "But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to boast only about how weak I am and how great God is to use such a weak man for his glory. I have plenty of things that I can brag about and would be no fool in doing it. But I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than he should. For what he can actually see in my life and my message, I will say this, because these experiences I had were so tremendous, God was afraid I might be puffed up by them. So I was given a physical condition, which is a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to hurt and bother me and prick my pride. 3 different times I went to the Lord and I begged him to take it away, and he would not do it." I got a lot of stuff to brag about. I can talk about being light-skinned and curly hair. I can talk about working at the school system. I can talk about having been sick and recovering. I can talk about raising all them children. And they all right. Ain't nobody in jail. I can talk about some stuff. We can all talk about some stuff. Everybody got something they look good about. My family's doing well. I got a little money in the bank. Paul said, I got a lot of stuff that I can brag about, and if I do it, I'm not even lying to you, and I look good when I do it, because there are folk who know, and I've done it time and time again, and I'm going to do it again. I already know I can do it. And in bragging, I won't even look like a fool. But I'm not going to brag so that I can tell you how good I am. I want to show you how weak I am so that you can understand that this is all about the glory of God. And so what he said is, to keep me from being puffed up in myself and bragging to you as if I've done something, God has put a thorn in my flesh. He's given me something that I can't get rid of. Now we know, if you look at Acts 9, 1 through 12, you'll find the story where Paul was going down the road to Damascus. He had killed a number of Christians because of their belief in Jesus Christ and preaching and teaching that word. And so he decided that he was going to go kill some more. And on his way to Damascus, along comes Jesus and knocks him off what he was riding. I have a way I like to say that, but I'm not going to say it this morning. And when he knocked him down, Paul was stricken and couldn't see. Then Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who am I persecuting?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting." And so what happened was, when he got up, he was told to go into Damascus, and a man named Ananias was going to pray for him so that he could receive his sight. And so he went and he got prayer. And a lot of us, including the pastor, believe he didn't get all his vision back. And so I can't see with my eyes, right? But I can see in the spirit. So I keep having these visions. And I keep seeing things. Have you ever noticed that when there's something physically weak about you, God will give you a spiritual something about that's even greater? My mother was partially blind. Legally blind, and eventually became fully blind. But she could see. She could see. My mama couldn't see you pass most of the time. But she'd be sitting with her back turned to you and say, "What are you doing?" at the moment that you're doing something. And it was always a phenomenon. She'd be downstairs and you upstairs talking about something, and you know you whispered. And she'll quote those words back to you. "What did you say?" And it was always astounding the way she did that. And so when his vision got dim, his vision opened up. And so he was able to see. And so God, in order to keep him from boasting and bragging, allowed him to have this thing there so he couldn't say, "This is all about me. I was over here killing Christians and I was on top of the world, and I'm over here with God and he's still keeping me on top of the world. I'm a bad mamma jamma. Can't nobody touch me. It don't matter what you say. You ain't going." He was running like the rest of the Christians. Folks was not bragging on him like he was all that, just like the rest of the Christians. And so even though he could have bragged, he couldn't, because there was a thorn in his flesh. And because of the thorn in his flesh, he had to release something. Right? And what Paul said is, every time I felt that thorn, I was releasing prayer. It was like nacre. It was my defense. I didn't know how to fight the thing that was irritating me. And so I was using this to be my defense. And as I was praying and quoting that word, God kept saying to me, "But I'm with you. My grace is sufficient for you." And so the grace of God began to build up something, just like the pearl that the oyster was creating. And so what am I saying about that? And here come these 3 points. I'm saying, don't worry about what you're going through. Because point number one is that he's going to give you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. That's coming from Isaiah 61, verse 3. The Bible says he will give you beauty for ashes. See, because when people were mourning, what they would do is they would get in sackcloth, tear their clothes, sackcloth, burlap. Tear their clothes, burn wood, create ashes, and just sit sorrowfully and mourn. But at the time that we should be mourning, God's going to give us beauty. You crying and praying, tearing off your clothes, but I'm going to make it like nacre. As you're praying and crying and mourning and going through, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let it cover the irritant so it becomes wisdom for you. So that not only will you be able to live by it and not do some of the same things that made you irritated in the first place, but you can tell somebody else. It's not going to be your bragging thing, but it's going to be to the glory of God. You're going to be able to stand and say, "This had nothing to do with me, but this was all about God." People are going to say, "We thought you was gone for the count." And you're going to say, "I'm still here because of the blood. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I'd be, but you'll be right there because of what God has done." He'll make your prayers, your worship, like nacre. to cover the irritant so that you'll not just be going through, but there'll be proof that it was him that brought you through. Now, let me say that I think sackcloth today, because of the fact that it's burlap, right? And it's a weaving of fibers to and fro, in and out. Reminds me of the to and fro and in and out that we do when we're going through. We start calling everybody. Don't want to go to church. We go somewhere else. We stop listening to the Lord and listening to everything else. We turn on the TV, and anywhere we think we're getting a good message or a good word, we start running there. And so that, to me, is like the sackcloth. Because what sackcloth did was, it was very uncomfortable. And so the running back and forth, to and fro, you can never find comfort in. And when I think about the ashes, I'm thinking about something that can never be restored. Because once something is burned and there are ashes on the ground, you can't put that back together. But what I see God saying is, even though you're running back and forth and to and fro, and even though you feel like you can't be fixed, that something is broken and it's fallen and it can't get back up, I'm going to restore it, and not just restore it, but I'm going to give you beauty instead of that. I'm going to make you see the beauty of what I've done for you instead of that. And then the second thing is, I want to say the second point is coming from Matthew 7 and 6. Because God has given you beauty for your ashes and your sackcloth, don't cast your pearls to swine. Don't cast your pearls to swine. Sometimes the wonderful things that God has done for us, we take it for granted. We don't even know how to praise him for it. We take it out and we treat it like it's nothing. We go talk about it to people who don't even know how to rejoice with us about it, and don't know how to rejoice in the Lord about it. Now, here's what the scripture says in Matthew 7 and 6. It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them. Your pearls before the pigs, lest perhaps they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. A lot of times you try to give your testimony to somebody who don't understand it, and they try to use your testimony to prove that you're wrong or prove that you're lying. So don't cast your pearl to swine. And then the third point, coming from Haggai 2 and 9, which was from the scripture that we heard earlier today. In that scripture, the Bible is saying that in the ninth verse, the latter glory of the house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And so the third point is, there will be glory after this. There will be glory after this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening. When I was coming along, I used to think people talked about going through too much, right? I thought people said that too much. Every time I turned around, somebody was talking about going through. But going through means a lot of different things. It doesn't have to do with the fact that you're suffering. But yesterday, the pastor told me it could just mean shifting. And shifting is not a comfortable thing. But as you're shifting and changing, as you're transitioning and becoming more mature, as you're listening, or as you're discovering that things that you've learned before make a lot of sense today, remember, there's going to be glory after this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, no matter how you're shifting, shifting can be a very wonderful piece of news. You can hear something that's changing and it sounds so wonderful. And then you say it was so simple, it should have been good, but they make it hard. And it's not necessarily them, but it's actually the shift itself. Shifting is not easy. When the earth shifts, it's called an earthquake, right? And so shifting is not easy. And so if you're shifting, then it can be called a spirit quake, right? Everything's going to begin to move. And what you're used to is now not going to be in the same place. What seemed normal now is no longer going to happen. Because as God is shifting you, what he has to do is now remold you so that you're able to be in the place that he's called you to. But no matter how you feel, there's going to be glory after this. No matter what people say, it's going to be glory after this. No matter how awkward it is, it's going to be glory after this. Right? No matter what you think about it, if you just understand that this is not about you, but this is about God. Paul said I could brag, and in fact I am bragging, but it's not about me. It's because I'm showing you in my bragging how weak I am so that you can see how strong God is. It's when you're in your weakest moment that you know that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's when you're at the bottom that you understand how high God really is. It's when you're sorrowful that you know that the joy of the Lord is really your strength. And you got to go through in order to do that. But while you're suffering, while there's irritation, let's string some pearls of wisdom to the glory of God. Don't just go through, but let the Lord use you. Allow yourself to learn something so that there will be beauty to adorn the temple, to adorn yourself, to adorn your family. Your children will learn if you can share it, right? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the message. Amen. Stringing pearls of wisdom to the glory of God. And now it's personal decision time. If you've gotten something from the message, let us stay.